Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. This week, we're heading to Zurich's Wollishofen district to hear the story of the Rote Fabrik. Originally built in 1892, this former factory was due for demolition in the 1970s, but it was saved by local campaigners and turned into a cultural centre. Here's Monocle's Carlotta Rebello.
One of my favourite things to do during the summer is to sit down and observe how a city can change as the heat settles in. Warmer temperatures are immediately inviting and make us all want to use public spaces, from parks to sidewalks, squares to gardens. It's that time of the year where we all reclaim our city a tiny bit more. This is a story of reclamation, of a group of people who fought for their space in Zurich's cultural scene. Perched by the shore in the southern district of Wollishofen, it's impossible to miss a big red bricked industrial complex called the Rote Fabrik. The name translates to Red Factory, and as it might hint, the building started its life as one back in 1892. It was built as the home of a silk company and designed by the Swiss architect Karl Arnold Sequin. The main building's color creates a beautiful contrast between the terracotta bricks and the choppy lake waters. Some even suggest that the initial design by Sequin included a dome, but that didn't make it to the final cut. As industries and production moved out of the center, the old factory ended up being taken over by a private corporation before the city eventually bought it back in 1972. The idea was to take a complex by the water and redevelop the lake access and surrounding area. And that meant that the factory was now up for demolition so that the adjacent Seestrasse could be widened. This proposed extension plan would change the area, but some in the city council did not want this old industrial giant to disappear from Zurich's history. As a result, the Social Democratic Party launched a campaign to turn it into a public space with a cultural center. And this was decided the same way as most things in Switzerland are, through a vote. In 1977 was official. The Red Factory was to be preserved. Initially, not much took place within these walls, just a couple of artists renting studios for their work and a performance here and there. A lot of the rooms were closed for years, and the city made little funding available for the upkeep of the building. This created a heated debate in Zurich streets over what sort of city it wanted to be. It highlighted the generational divide. On one hand, the city was invested in the arts and culture scene, providing generous funding to the opera house. But on the other, it failed to even acknowledge the Red Factory, which was tailoring to a younger, more rock-centric crowd. This was one of the central narratives that led to the youth riots of May 1980. It was a clash of classes, police versus citizens, young versus old, mainstream versus alternative. Months of violent rioting ensued, and it quickly turned ugly. Shops were trashed, cars burned, and fights between residents and the police were constant. At its core, there was one simple demand: that the city would commit to funding an alternative art space. There was eventually compromise from both sides, and in December 1987, voters agreed to establish the Rote Fabrik as a cultural center permanently. What started as a grassroots movement has led to one of the most interesting spaces in the city. Operating as a cultural collective, today more than 300 events take place within those walls, and it's one of the few places in Zurich where street art is permitted and encouraged. From concerts to artist residencies, pop-up markets or simply drinks by the water, Rote Fabrik has become a meeting point for like-minded youngsters, and it does show that there is a bit left of rock and roll in Zurich after all.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Carlotta Rebello for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.